people are always wondering and asking me, what are some great fall plants that we can put in the garden and just enjoy the season all the way up to the frost? We've got someone that can help us. Marie Iannotti has been growing perennials in gardens from New York to California for more than 40 years. In the early 1900s, she owned and operated a really neat heirloom nursery called Your Vegetables, Y-O-R-E. Isn't a great play on
that
words?
That is.
And she's since devoted her gardening time and passions to writing and lecturing. She's with us today from her home in Lake Katrine, New York, to give us top 10 and more fall blooming perennials. Marie, welcome to Homegrown.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, I think with a lot of gardeners such as Janine and I, a lot of what you do is self-taught. You've touched a lot of bases in your travels through horticulture and across the country, really. How did you get started in gardening? What was your interest?
Well, I used to garden, you know, with my parents as a child, and I think my true love of gardening came out when I moved away and lived in an apartment.
Yeah, right.
And I had taken it for granted for so long, and then
right.
I started, putting pots outside my door, and I lived in an apartment where they gave me a little patch of dirt to play in.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, you know, I worked indoors. I finally couldn't take it anymore. I actually went back and started training as a gardener.
And then you had a wonderfully named nursery, briefly called Your Vegetables, which was, you started the heirloom craze and then got out, apparently.
Right, well, I started it basically because I couldn't find any heirloom vegetable plants of my own. And,
right.
As they were more and more available, I just kind of phased out that end of it and stuck to writing,
right.
Talking.
Mm-hmm. So we were interested in talking with you today about some great fall blooming perennials.
Mm-hmm.
Bob and I come into contact with a great many gardeners, and often people are sort of stumped. You know, once they get through their June garden, they don't think that there's anything going on in the summer and in the fall. So what are some of your favorites?
Fall is like a great season in the garden. The biggest problem for people is that you have to plant them in the spring
exactly.
in order
right.
to get them to bloom in the fall.
Exactly.
But I think my absolute favorite at this point, it changes, is helenium or sneezeweed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing a lot of designing with the helenium plants. They're kind of old-fashioned and they fell out of favor, but they're just gorgeous, rich, rich colors.
What colors and what do they do?
It's almost like a small daisy or an aster type of flower, but they can get quite tall. They can go 4 feet or higher, and they bloom rather late. Mine still aren't in bloom up here in zone 5, but the traditional, I believe, is more of a kind of a rusty orange, but now they have burgundies and golds and bicolors, and they're just, everybody's garden is the same palette in the fall. Even if you have pastels in the summer, if you have hot colors in the summer, everything is jewel-toned, and
right.
the helenium just kind of pulls everything together.
Mm-hmm.
Another one I've got quite a bit of is Caryopteris, the blue mist shrub or spirea. Yeah,
that's an incredible vivid shade of, I don't know what that is, blue or periwinkle.
Right, yeah.
The problem with that one is that the bees love it, so you can never get near it.
And it's got nice texture in terms of foliage, sort of a silvery gray foliage. It's also extremely fragrant,
mm-hmm.
So a nice selection. Have you experienced problems with Caryopteris after a couple of years, though? Or is it a plant that, you know, persists year after year?
Kind of depends on the variety.
Mm-hmm.
The traditional, you know, the blue mist shrub, that one seems a lot hardier than some of the newer ones that they're coming out with, where they're playing with the colors.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had my old-fashioned blue mist for several years now, and it's never given me any grief except that now it's starting to spread itself around my yard.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I've always felt sorry for the poor Joe Pye weed because it's such a more useful plant than the name weed would imply. Talk about that
indeed.
A little bit.
Someone here locally at one of the gardening centers, they had a renowned British designer come and talk, and she's showing slides of this statuesque and imposing purple plant, and everybody in the audience is going, ooh and ah, and it's just Joe Pye, and they've driven by it every day of their lives and never
right.
noticed it.
Exactly.
It takes somebody to point it out to show you how gorgeous it really is. But it does require some a little bit more moisture, I think, than some of our gardens up here can handle, and probably down there.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Although you've got to wonder, these things grow in the wild, and when we try to put them in our garden, they become sophisticated.
Exactly. And fortunately, too, with the Joe Pye weed, you can find your traditional sorts of kind of reddish, pinkish blooming ones. But there's also some white varieties. I know Joe White is a shorter white variety, and also some dwarf varieties that don't get quite as tall.
Yeah, this is one of those plants where it's worth it to get a named variety because they're better behaved,
mm-hmm.
and they won't become weedy in your garden.
Mm-hmm.
Not just spreading, but also the foliage stays a little better looking. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Gateway is one I use quite a bit. It works pretty well.
And this is a plant, certainly, and tell me if it's true, Marie, many of the fall blooming perennials do well having had a little haircut, so to speak, or a little trim back by midsummer, so that they don't get too out of control or too leggy. Is that something that you recommend with most of these plants?
I do. I think one of the reasons most people don't plant some of these late bloomers is they're sitting in the garden all year, taking up space, and they don't put on a show until the end of the season. So
mm-hmm.
if you have, you know, space is a premium, you don't necessarily want to give it up for something that's going to sit there for months on end. But if you prune these back, they get a little bushier. They don't get quite so tall and gangly. And the foliage just, as you said, stays better looking, and it makes for a more attractive plant even before it's in bloom.
Mm-hmm.
And you get more flowers.
Exactly. You do,
Yeah. Another sort of off-putting name of a plant I really like is the old turtle head, the Cleone.
Oh, yeah.
Describe that and what that does for
us. Well, it looks like a little turtle head.
It does, exactly.
The blossoms themselves are turtle heads. It's a clump. It's got, you can get flowers now in red, pink, or white, and it's incredibly hardy. I think it's hardy down to, you know, zone 2 or something, and
right.
How many plants are that good? And yet it's drought tolerant.
Mm-hmm.
And then stonecrop sedum, which some people almost consider a pest, and yet come late fall, when you want that purple colors, a tough old plant, there it is.
That's a plant that looks good all season, though. I mean, even in the snow, it holds up and, you know, hangs on. And the new foliage is already there before you can clear out the old stuff. And there's so many of them now.
Right.
The thing I don't like about them is if your sedum is in bloom, you know your summer's over.
Yeah. But, you know, they do make some of the varieties do make nice dried arrangements as well, you know.
Yeah.
If you don't leave them out for winter interest, you can cut them and bring them in. What else is on your list?
Goldenrod.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then again, you need to get the cultivars.
Right.
Because otherwise, you know, the species plant will just take over your whole border. But I have Fireworks, which is a very nice, compact, big fountain of a plant.
Right.
But some of the cultivated ones tend to bloom so late that if you live in a cooler climate, you may not actually get to see any flowers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Are there other cultivated varieties that you like?
I do like the Golden Fleece, which is a dwarf. You were talking about smaller plants that don't necessarily have to be at the back of the border. There are an awful lot of them that are coming out right now. It's nice to see them hybridizing these old plants that didn't get much attention.
Right. And, you know, you mentioned it earlier, one of the drawbacks, if you are a beautiful fall-blooming perennial, in the spring when people are shopping at nurseries and garden centers, they don't buy you because you're not blooming.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you're blooming, most people aren't really out shopping for perennials anymore.
Yeah.
So people really do need to get out and look this time of the year. Pay attention to what's really bold and beautiful and what you might want to add to your perennial garden so that you will remember that, you know, and print that in your mind. So next spring, if you don't buy it this fall, next spring, don't pass it up. Fall planting, certainly not a bad idea, though.
Fall planting, no, but you have to remember you need at least 6 weeks to get the roots established. Basically, it's a good idea because the soil is nice and warm. The plant is going dormant, but it's still growing roots.
Mm-hmm.
So it is good, but, you know, it depends on where you are
right.
and what fall actually is.
And for us in Kentuckiana and in southern Indiana, we're pretty safe still because we don't, if we have a really cold winter, it usually doesn't get us until January or February.
That's nice.
Yeah.
No. I remember that,
We have to mention, of course, too, the asters and the chrysanthemums. They're
I was just
going to
say that. You know, they call, I think that hardy mum misnomer has turned people off to some of these plants.
Right.
But, personally, I always liked the asters myself because they just had a more delicate look than the big forced mums.
Mm-hmm.
But you can grow mums as a perennial if you start them in the spring.
Yeah, and ours come back sometimes. We'll get even the ones I buy in nurseries here. If I mulch them a little bit and take care of them, they'll come back the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they'll come back about 10 times bigger than what you bought them in the nursery.
Right.
If you don't cut them back.
Those are something that you do have to, as you were saying earlier, you do have to pinch those, not just to get a better looking plant, but if you don't, they'll bloom early.
Yeah. Right.
They're not necessarily fall bloomers on their own.
Yeah.
Exactly. Any other favorites you want to mention while we got you here?
Oh, I don't know, maybe monk's hood, which is kind of overlooked too.
Right.
Aconitum, I think, is the Latin name, and it grows in partial shade, and it's just such a deep, rich blue. It's more of a late summer, early fall plant, but it's a really pretty accent to some of the reds and the golds that are out there.
Mm-hmm. Have you grown Boltonia by any chance?
No, I haven't. I've seen it around in other display gardens, but mm-hmm. I haven't grown it much of you.
We planted one last year, and this year it's aster, reminiscent of an aster, really,
mm-hmm.
and it blooms a little bit earlier than some of these other, later fall bloomers, but it's going to persist through the fall, and it's a really nice, I think, addition to the late summer fall garden, if we want to continue to extend on both ends the interest, and that's sort of a plant that I think is underappreciated as well.
Yeah,
it's a very vigorous plant, too. Mm-hmm. You can be giving it to your friends in about 3 years.
Yeah. also, another one, Mongolian aster, we planted this spring that's also done well in our garden. So, that's the thing. When we speak of asters, there's a whole slew of different types of asters that we can include in our garden for the
later. There's an aster for pretty much any kind of climate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that the monk, M-O-N-C-H, I think they spell it.
Uh-huh.
Right.
That's getting a lot of play because I grew it for the first time a couple of years ago, and I would have to give that a plug. If you have trouble with asters, or you don't like to dote on your fall plants mm-hmm. all season, this one it takes care of itself.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Marie, thank you for your enthusiasm and your knowledge and your expanding our palette of fall colors. Enjoy talking to you.
Great. Thank you.
Marie Iannotti is a garden writer and lecturer who lives in Lake Katrine, New York. For more information on her gardens and her favorite plants, visit our website at wfpl.org.
Coming up next, we learn the science of the sundial, not the garden accessory you once thought it was. You're listening to Homegrown on 89.3 WFPL.
All the colors are changing.